Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureaus podcast, Better Business, Better Series, where we will explore top-of-mind topics with business and industry leaders to understand the leading trends and innovations that continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
For the Better Business, Better Series podcast, I'm Will Johnson. Of the five senses, we often neglect sound and how important it is in our lives. This is true in our personal lives and in the business realm as well. How can the concept of sound improve, enhance, and set your business apart from the competition? This week, we'd like to welcome back Dallas Taylor. He knows a lot about sound. He first cut his teeth as a sound designer and mixer for major TV networks. He then went on to launch DeFacto Sound in Silver Spring, Maryland, where he's led thousands of high-profile projects ranging from blockbuster video game trailers and advertising campaigns to Sundance Award-winning films and major television series. In 2016, Dallas launched 20,000 Hertz, a podcast all about sound that has attracted hundreds of thousands of listeners. Dallas, welcome back this week. Nice to have you here again. Let's start with the podcast. I know this began as a passion project for you, and we spoke about it last week. But real quickly, for folks who didn't hear, this is something you've been thinking about for a long time, and it's done quite well, and it's a podcast all about sound.
Exactly. It mirrors the company in a lot of ways. The company is about sound and not so much music, but 20,000 Hertz is the same concept, very much about content talking about sound, not particularly about music because there's great music podcasts, but yeah, focused on sound.
We spoke last week about how sound can be used for businesses, maybe podcasts, digital extensions, how people can create content that mirrors their passion and get it out there. Sound is really interesting, though. Let's talk about the five senses, first of all. Taste, smell, touch, sight. These are often no-brainers for any business owner, right? And we could be talking about a restaurant. We could be talking about a retail store, whatever it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. The four senses, unfortunately, before sound, have major billion-trillion-dollar industries that revolve around them. Not that sound doesn't also have that, but typically on the sound side, it's very music-focused. And there's this whole world outside of music, literally. Most of the time, we're not listening to music, and there's still sound present, where there's opportunities to make things sound better. Because over the course of researching and doing shows, sound is something that can have major effects on our well-being and health, and in some cases, people are being hurt by terrible sounds around them without even realizing it.
I mean, the case of restaurants is obvious. Just first of all, one of the major complaints for restaurants is it's too loud, right? I mean, there's noise, and restaurants spend a lot of money actually trying to deal with that issue.
Some do.
Right.
I still, most of the time, it's pretty rough. For some reason in our culture, we have this idea that like louder is better. Concerts, for example, very loud concerts. I went to one recently and I went with earplugs. It sounded great. I pulled the earplugs out and it was just non-discernible noise. Like at some point your ears can't even comprehend that and you're just doing pure damage. But in a lot of restaurants, especially I'm thinking, 7 o'clock on a Friday, with a lot of hard surfaces, the volume levels are so loud just from people talking that it is past the threshold of hearing damage, surprisingly. And whenever I go to a restaurant, I want it to be very intimate and quiet, and I want to focus on the people who are with me, and I don't want to leave with my vocal cords hurting because I'm yelling over everyone. And 100 people in a restaurant all trying to yell over each other is not enjoyable at all for me.
So if your business is something along the lines of, a brick and mortar experience where you're walking into a store, a shop, whatever it is, you have a lobby, a waiting room, we know that people spend time thinking about how comfortable is this environment? How does it look? What's the painting on the wall or the artwork or the seats that you're sitting on? But that idea of sound, what music you may or may not be playing, it can play a big role in how we sort of go through our day. You know, one example I think of is that every now and again, I'll get in the car. This is a little off topic, but I think it relates to this. I'll get in the car and I'll be listening to some music with my 10-year-old, and it may not be my favorite music. And I'll realize I'm still have it on and it's a little loud and it's on for 2 minutes. And all of a sudden I'll say, good God, what am I doing here? I need to turn this off. But it takes me a few minutes to realize I'm getting a little irritated about something.
It's hard to notice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the big thing with sound is it's something that even myself, like I just don't naturally, probably a little bit more than most people, but I just don't naturally default to, oh, there's something wrong with the sound here.
Yeah.
But even if you're in a brick and mortar place, right now you're listening to a podcast because of its intimacy, because, you know, most likely, you know, our voices are in someone's ears and it sounds very close and intimate and friendly. And the human voice is this magical instrument that we've had for our entire, eternity here. And in a brick and mortar store, the same thing is being able to quiet it, being able to hear people speak clearly. There's an intimacy in even to being able to like speak quieter and be able to communicate. And so, I think most brick and mortars could do a better job of just getting rid of some of these like this reverb in spaces that can cause dissonance and it's hard to hear people. And I know if I was in a clothing store or a cell phone store or something, even myself, I would want to make sure it's very intimate sounding.
And a lot of times if it's music, it might play into individual taste. You hear a song that you love playing in a grocery store or elsewhere. And so that's, you know, that has to be navigated. How do you sort of please a wide population of people who might be coming in your door? Let's move on to big brands, though, and it makes me think of like airports. There's some airlines or as I mentioned, large grocery store chains where I'll see comments on Facebook or social media sometimes like, oh, I heard this. What a great soundtrack on this airline. You sit down in an airplane and hearing some nice music can have a big impact. So let's move into this idea of big businesses. And on one of your episodes, you talk about the sound of cars and how they're carefully designed and engineered to provide the most pleasing sounds for drivers. And that's everything from the roar of the engine, which people may know about, but it also includes the sound of the trunk door closing. I was fascinated to hear about this. These sounds are actually used to attract buyers.
Well, put yourself in the shoes of going to look at a new car. You know, you pull in, you do your thing, you park, you walk around, you're talking to the salesperson. Oh my goodness, here we go. And then they're like, okay, do you want to sit in this car? And then every car I've ever sat in, I remember sitting down, you know, it feels comfy, and then you shut that door and it's like, whoa, okay, this is a different experience. That door, you might not think about that sound of the door, but that door is, for most people, the very first experience they'll ever have with an entire car. And so there are people, very brilliant people, that are shutting doors all day long just to make sure that this sound is just such a satisfying sound. Because if you can think now, rewind back into the 80s and you hear, you know, one of these big, you know, or you hear one of these big cars and you can hear that door shut and it's just clanky and metally and just, and that also very clearly goes into how you think about how the entire car is made up. If I hear a super clanky door, now I'm not thinking of this literally. I just make a massive amount of assumptions about, well, you know, is the engine, well put together? Is this thing going to fall apart? Is this a clunker or not? But if you hear a thump, then you know that every detail on that car has been very carefully crafted. And so that's something that is you won't think about until you do it. But I would encourage anyone who's going to go sit in even someone else's car or go test drive a car, just think about that initial sound. And that extends to the trunk. That extends to every aspect of that car.
I almost miss on newer vehicles, you know, you have the button that closes the trunk. And I miss being able sometimes. You actually did a really nice job of the thunk sound. I guess you got into the weeds on that one,
yeah.
I'm sure. Well, all of your shows. Other business examples like that you can think of off the top of your head? I know the cars one seems to be a big one. And not just, as you say, people closing doors all day, but the engines.
Well, whenever you mention the grocery store scenario, and it's something that's not even in our show ideas, and we have about 200, but it's something that I think it's something that I should put in there immediately when we get done talking here, because I'm certain, like, when was the last time you went to a grocery store? I mean, occasionally you do, but like the last time we went to a grocery store, do you remember the soundtrack that was playing? Like, most likely not, because it's been very carefully crafted to be just some very pleasant noise that's probably been scientifically proven to have helped people shop, you know, by 5% more than quietness. I mean, I could imagine being in a grocery store and there being
nothing.
Soundtrack.
Yeah.
We don't even notice it's there. But if you imagine there's nothing there, it's just eerie. And you're just going to, you're going to hear the hum and you're going to hear the dissonance of the refrigerators and all this stuff. And it's going to be, you're going to want to like naturally leave earlier. But if it's incredibly pleasant, you're going to spend a little bit more time. You might just hum along with some tune that you don't even realize you're humming along with. So there's that. I was in the airport the other day, and The Dulles Airport has an entire new terminal that has something like 100,000+ square feet of acoustic tiles on the ceiling. And it's beautiful because you're standing in this massive terminal with tons of people, but it sounds very quiet and intimate. It's very calming. It has a major calming effect. And then I was in another airport recently, Reagan in D.C., and it was hilarious because it sounded, whenever the baggage claim lights came on and went to alert you, oh, your baggage claim is number 6.
It's like a fire alarm going off.
It is complete chaos. It's the same sound as if a nuclear warhead is flying in.
It's terrifying.
And you need to get out.
Yep.
That's just an example of not at all thinking about the ramifications. Like, it's just like,
it's crazy. And maybe it's the end of your trip and, sounds are not, you're not quite as stressed as you were, but you probably are. Maybe you've got your kids in tow and you're waiting for your bags. And
that's
all of a sudden,
exactly right.
It's crazy.
But think about, even whenever I was there, I was like, well, why can't this just be like, doodle ding, baggage arriving. Right. Like, that is so calming.
Well, I remember here in the Washington, D.C. area with the Metro a few years ago, right? They changed the voice, I believe, and the sound of the doors closing. And I'm sure there was a lot of feedback from people who didn't like it or liked it. But to me, it got better. I mean, and now there is sort of a doors are closing kind of thing.
Yeah, calming. Because, people are naturally stressed in mass transit environments or just being out in, now that I think we're going to get more and more stressed as we move forward with being able to buy things online and do so many things in the privacy of our own home is, moving forward. Brick and mortar places need to be incredibly inviting. And I believe there's going to be a huge push for wealthy people, brick and mortar businesses to really optimize the sound experience in everything that they're doing because of the subconscious things that in psychology of what's happening in people's minds, with the grocery store example, people will leave earlier if that has not been thought through.
Well, and you mentioned online shopping and the digital world. So your podcast also looks at some of the more recognizable sounds in the business world, like Siri's voice and even the NBC chimes. How have these sounds helped to distinguish and elevate these businesses? Obviously, they're very recognizable. In the case of the NBC chimes, have been around a long time.
Most of the time, they all start with trying to solve a problem. It doesn't necessarily start with, oh, let's just make a cool sound, or with Siri, it's like, let's just make a cool voice and see what happens. They're trying to solve some sort of like engineering problem or start down a path of making something a little bit more palatable. In the case of NBC, that dong, 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 like that was simply they were patching from one studio to another. To be able to go from Studio One to Studio Two to go into air, if without something to cover up that sound, and they didn't need a whole lot of time, it would just sound like, and that's a very unpleasant sound. So in the 3 to 5 seconds that it took to do that, they just played a little thing, they dipped the volume, they went from one studio to another, and they had this pleasant little chime. It used to be a lot longer, but it was just solving the problem of going from here to there. And the same thing with Siri is that was something that and the Siri now sounds a lot different than the Siri then. So on the podcast, we cover the original Siri, which if you hear her, you're like, yeah, that's Siri. You might not even realize that the Siri on your phone now is a totally different person. But even the way that she had that Susan Bennett, the original Siri, had to perform all of the lines, that she had to be very straight, monotone to where, say these really weird lines. Just to solve these like engineering problems. And so it's interesting to see that even companies aren't going, don't feel bad if you're not thinking about, oh God, I haven't been thinking about my sound experience. Because a lot of times it comes from just someone solving a problem and then they stumble upon, oh, wow, we could make this sound better. And then it kind of materializes after that. So in a lot of these cases, it was a simple problem and then they just maximized the solution.
Yeah. And along the way created a something that is sort of the hallmark for that brand in some way, certainly with NBC and maybe to the same extent Siri.
Absolutely.
So long story short, maybe the message is, don't freak out about it, but it's something as your whatever business is you're in, maybe it's a box to check. Maybe it's more than that. Maybe it's developing a really recognizable sound that can be used in commercials or online or elsewhere. But don't lose track of sound.
Exactly. Think about the surroundings for your customers. Think about just what you do in general, how you can make that a more pleasant experience. I mean, talking about mowing the lawn, like people won't show up at 6 o'clock in the morning because of the sound. And so being mindful of these things. I mean, even if you're a lawn mowing company, it'd be great to, whenever you have someone sign for a year contract, you know, what time would you prefer us to mow, like between these hours and these hours, to where you don't find someone who has a night shift and you're mowing at 9 o'clock, which is perfectly reasonable for a lot of people, but it's not for this particular group. So there's just, think about that just from a wide ranging perspective in your environment. What could make it a little bit better? You know, we spend a lot of money on art on our walls, paint on our walls, making walls, all these things. But then sometimes whenever it comes to sound, it's like, oh man, $2,000 for like acoustic panels to hang off the ceiling. I don't know about that. We just naturally shortchange that part of our sense.
You mentioned lawn mowing, and you know, that we'll end on this. But the sound of summer has become weed whackers and lawnmowers. And mm-hmm. it's if you, especially if you live a little bit in the burbs or maybe out where there's grass to be cut, not so much in the city.
That's absolutely right. I mean, even when we're doing some, we're working on some summer projects at DeFacto, and starting up a lawnmower, and that's just part of, oh, that's clearly summer.
Yeah. Dallas, this has been great. Thank you for joining us for a two-part series last week and also this week. And it's really great to talk to you about the idea of sound. I hope we can have you back sometime.
Thank you very much.
And if you'd like to learn more about Dallas Taylor and the 20,000 Hertz podcast, which we didn't talk as much about today, but there's how many episodes do you have now?
Currently 20.
Okay, so whenever you listen to this, there's probably going to be more.
21, 22, yeah, it'll be great.
No end in sight, I hope.
No end in sight. We have 13 episodes simultaneously in production, and we have sponsorship for as long as we can see.
All right, that's what it's all about. Well, at least that's a nice part of it, right? Not all about it. I take that back. You can learn more about it, of course, at 20k.org. If you'd like to learn more about the Better Business Bureau, visit us at bbb.org. And for the Better Business, Better Series podcast, I'm Will Johnson.
You just enjoyed Better Business, Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blubrry.com and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureaus, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.